Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence on Sabbath day. We thank you for answering all our prayers all throughout the week and allowing us to come together once more on Sabbath to have a changing of the showbread. Bless our hearts. Thank you also for blessing us last night with your presence, hearing our prayers and our praise, and blessing us as we studied. And we pray that you do the same today throughout the entire service. We again lift up all those that we mentioned last night and all those on our prayer list. And we thank you for blessing the workers and the work that's getting done, and blessing those that help the workers. We thank you for keeping us safe with the hedge of angels around us as individuals and as your son's bride. And again, we pray to the best of our ability in the name of your son, who is our King and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Right, before we start, hold on, let me knock the bandwidth down a little bit. For some reason, we have quite a few people here today, as well as the radio's getting hit pretty heavy. So does the audio sound okay? Test, test. Like it doesn't sound like I'm lisping or anything like that. Testing. Yeah, because when you lower the bandwidth, it kind of sounds like the S's and stuff get all jumbled up. But I'm only bringing it down to 15 kilobits, so it should be okay. Sound good? Okay. And I want to welcome all the newcomers. We got a bunch of new people that got passwords this week. There's just too many names in here to try to figure out which ones they are. Well, Matthew H. right off the bat, that one there. And Kenneth L. from last night, but I don't see him in here today. Maybe he's just a little bit late. But there's a bunch of guests. We got guests 1, 11, 12, 13, 2, 4, 6, and 7. And we only get up to 15 guests, and so I might have to bring that up to 20. And we got 57 families in here right now. And the bandwidth on the radio is pretty intense right now, too, so praise the Lord. Okay, if you're listening on the radio, by the way, just scroll down on the WTPR page, and you'll see where it says Sabbath Day Study. Click it. Although I got to apologize, I forgot to set the link for number 4. So when you go, it'll bring you to the, study pages, lesson number 14. If you're actually doing the Bible studies for the baptism, that's lesson number 14 we're on. And just scroll down to question number 4. That's where we're starting. All right, so the question is, okay, hold on a second. Oh, I thought I didn't lock it in. Oh, okay, there. Oh, wow, look at that. It shows up as question number 4 in there. I don't know why it's not showing up over here. Here, I'll put it in the room. Oh, thanks, Kevin. Kevin put it in the room there in case, because there's so many people, some of you are going to get a blank page now because the bandwidth can only respond so quickly to so many. It all depends on your internet on your end, too. But why is it not showing the green bar on my side? That's odd, because I got no green. And Ace, push F2 on your computer. Do me a favor, just push F2. Or anybody, or Craig, or David, anybody that's a moderator. Oh, you don't have green either? Okay, hit accept. No, doesn't matter. I still don't have the green bar. All right, it don't matter. Because I noticed on my laptop, the POGM recording's got the green bar. Okay. All right. Yeah, it's still not green. Okay. It's like the guests keep falling out. If you keep falling out, if you're a guest and you keep falling out, here, let me lower the band. No, I'm not going to go down much lower than that. If you keep falling out, just you can go to WTPR and listen. You won't have to worry about falling out. Or if you've got a problem with your router, you unplug it, count to 10, plug it back in. It'll take 20 or 30 seconds for the handshaking to get done between the internet and your router. And then you should be back on, but you'll have, a little bit better connection. So try that. But let me, just for the sake of, all right, am I sounding choppy or, wait, testing? Okay, the audio is still good? because I want to make a video out of the sermon today, and I want to make sure that the audio doesn't sound fuzzy on the S's. Okay, question number four. When Gabriel finally returned to explain the time portion of the vision, how much of the 2,300 days did he say was designated for the Jewish people? And then Daniel chapter, see, that's question four here. Daniel chapter 9, verses 21, and there's a dash. I'm going to go to verse 24. Thank you, Goran. He already went to verse 24. All right, and it says, this is Daniel chapter 9, verses 21 and 24. It says, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, or his evening prayers. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment that came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So amen and amen. All right. Okay, one more thing before going further. If you're new, and every time someone comes in and you hear that noise that says they're coming in, you know, that bell ringing, go up to where it's, when you're in the browser, when you're in the chat room, go up to the word file, click it, scroll down to where it says play sound effects, hover over it, another menu will drop down, click the box that says never. In other words, it's on always, I think. Put the check mark where it says never, and then you won't hear that silly noise every time someone comes in the room. Why they did that in this software back when we first bought it is beyond me. And you can actually change the noise to any kind of noise you want, but you have to actually do that on your own computer. So that'll get rid of that noise. Okay. I have a page on the website all about the 70 weeks in the prophecy section of the website. It is an amazing prophecy that I believe every Christian should study, because in so doing, many of the fallacies of the false preachers and the teachers of today would be easily seen as nothing more than a pack of lies designed to keep the people off guard and under the thumb of the Roman prelates. I'll not go into great detail here, as it would make it impossible for me to finish the study online as it is organized, because it's huge. It's not really that big, but it would take a little while. Instead, I think it's best just to continue going point by point in the study that we're doing now. But, I mean, that being said, 70 weeks multiplied by 7 days for each week comes to 490 days, and leads to the next question. All right? Because the angel just told them, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision of the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Okay, the Jews don't so much have a problem with this section of the prophecy. It's the other aspect of the prophecy where probation ends. And this is why to this day, if you ask any Jewish person, they'll tell you that Daniel is a false prophet. And they say that because they don't like what Daniel was told by Gabriel. Because Gabriel was more or less telling them that the Jews would stop being called God's people. They would no longer be able to carry the title Israel. Israel is only for obedient believers of God, of heaven. And when he sent his son Jesus Christ as Messiah and they denied him, they can't be called Israel anymore. I've got a video all about this on the website as well as a short study and historic study. I mean, you've got Old Testament and New Testament. Well, actually, Old Testament prophecies and New Testament fulfillments, and Jesus himself stating that the Jews would no longer be considered Israel. But most people don't know that today because of another prophecy in the book of Amos. They're not reading their Bibles. All right, the next one, question number five. It says, in Bible prophecy, God has appointed a short unit of time to represent a longer time period. What scale does he use? Now, here, this is one of the reasons I love about prophecy. A theologian, a doctor of divinity, can even look at the Bible, read the exact same prophecies that I'm reading, and not understand a lick, and I'll understand it all. because they don't realize that you have to go back into Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, "And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year." And we also know in Numbers 14, verse 34, after the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. What this means is, according to Scripture, and not man's opinion, only Scripture, a day equals a year in prophecy. So as we know, and that's why I say a theologian can't understand the prophetic statements that are being made by Daniel, because they don't know how to search the Scriptures properly. Yeah. Like some people will tell you, well, oil in prophecy could mean anything from feeding ants up the side of a tree to being slippery. But the Bible clearly says oil is the Holy Spirit. But if they don't study the symbols in the Bible, they won't understand. Like for example, the book of Revelation has 404 verses in it, and out of those 404 verses, 278 of them are found almost word for word in all the other books of the Bible. And 2 Peter 1:20 says, no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. In other words, I can't give you my opinion of what a prophetic symbol means. You have to let the Bible define them. Every symbol that's found in the book of Revelation is in all the other books of the Bible. And there's actually some symbols in Revelation that are only found there that are defined as well. Like the angel even tells John while he's in vision what the symbols mean. But most people don't know that. And that's one of the reasons I did that study. It took two and a half years to do it. It's that Revelation study I did where I took every single solitary symbol that's in the book of Revelation from chapter 1 to chapter 22. And I put them in a list. And then you click on them and it'll show you every other Bible verse that speaks of that symbol in Revelation so that you can understand what those symbols mean. See, the book of Revelation was never hidden. It's a revelation. It's Daniel that was sealed up until the end of time, which we'll find out later on in this study, but that probably won't be till next week or the week after because we only do so many questions per week. So, all right. So as we know, there are literally millions of pastors and preachers that claim that the day for a year thing isn't true because they got to push that Schofield lie that's in the 1910 Schofield Reference Bibles where it talks about a gap theory. I mean, they use Daniel's time prophecies to fabricate a lie of a 7-year trib or even a 3.5-year trib, tribulation period that is, by drawing in the midst of the 2,300-year prophecy in the area students of prophecy refer to as the week of Daniel, which is where we're in now. Rome saw, well, we're not in physically, but we're in the study, the week of Daniel. That week of Daniel happened, I mean, the week started when Jesus got baptized, and the week ended when Stephen was stoned. And that is historic. The dates, everything is amazing. The dates even match up. But Rome saw millions of people leaving their church in the Reformation with Martin Luther, so some of the Jesuits got together to fabricate a secret rapture or a 7-year tribulation period, and even a futuristic view of Antichrist that, in other words, the Antichrist doesn't come until the end of the world, because the Pope at that time was Antichrist, but they can't let the people know that, so they got to make it look like he's coming in the future. And it would also confuse many of the obedient Bible students, and this is one of the reasons the book of Revelation calls the Catholic Church Babylon, which is to mix, you know, truth with error, confusion, or whatever. This lie worked to bring many people back into the Church of Rome, of course, but only on those that refused to study the Bible themselves. This is why it's so imperative, especially in today's world, that you study the Bible, especially today when so many events are prophesied to happen that can and will be hidden by Rome's ability to manipulate the media and the pulpits. And they're doing everything they can, like especially here in America. The media is so controlled, and we're going to get into that a little bit later in the sermon in regards to that peace and safety thing. It's the last prophecy. And where there's certain things that are happening on the planet right now that you will not hear on the evening news, because if they were to tell you, a lot of people would be getting on their knees, expecting Jesus Christ to be coming. But the final prophecy is, you know, that peace and safety thing. You know, they don't want the people to know. No, so bottom line is this, and this is an easy way, by the way, to prove to those that ignore the day for a year definition that Daniel used or was told to use and Ezekiel was told to outline in Scripture, as well as the book of Numbers. If the prophecy was really all about days and not years, then all those events that occurred in the 2300-day prophecy would have to come to fruition within those 2300 days, or 6.3 years. But if you look at the documented historic record, then place it alongside all the prophecy events using the day-for-year definition from Ezekiel and Numbers, then everything happens just as prophecy said in the exact years. You can't do that in 6.5 years. You can't bring, I mean, look at the prophecies of Daniel chapter 2, where you got, you know, Nebuchadnezzar having that dream about the four global kingdoms. How is that all supposed to happen so quickly? You know, a kingdom comes to power, and all of a sudden it has these wars, loses its power, and another kingdom comes to power. That's all supposed to happen in a couple of years. That's impossible. That happens over centuries. So it is 100% impossible for this to occur in 6.3 years. In fact, there is no record in history to be found anywhere on earth that supports the theory that all those events occurred in 2,300 days. But there is an abundant historic evidence to prove that they did in fact happen within exactly 2,300 years. Even down to the day of October 22, 1844, when the end times began, and that mistake that was brought forth that was prophesied in Revelation chapter 10, that happened on that exact date. And that's, of course, when the prophecies that have dates ended. Now we know what's going to happen next. We just can't give you the day or the hour. Because Jesus even said, no man knows the day and the hour of him returning. We know the season, but we don't know the exact date. Dated prophecy ended in Daniel's 2300-year prophecy, which ended on October 22, 1844. So, question number six. Yeah, we can do this one. Actually, maybe question number six and seven, we'll put them together. Because question number six is the question of the time period would begin when what command went forth. And then question number seven, because if I would have, I don't know. Anyway, it says, in fulfilling God's command, what three kings of Persia would need to make decrees regarding the rebuilding of Jerusalem? So the verse answering question number six is Daniel 9:25. And it says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times, right? And then the verse answering question number seven about which, you know, the three kings of Persia, who's doing this, is Ezra chapter 6, verse 14, right? Is that question number seven? Yeah. And Ezra chapter 6, thanks, Goran. Ezra chapter 6, verse 14, it says, and the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they built it and finished it. According to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. There's all three right there. So if you recall, back in question number four, Daniel 9:24 said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. The word determined here in this verse comes from the Hebrew word chathak. You know, it's C-H-A-T-H-A-K. That's actually Strong's number 2852. The word chathak literally means to cut off or to be marked out. In other words, the angel is telling Daniel that 70 weeks have been cut off or marked out for the people of Israel. In other words, there's a 2,300-year prophecy, but this section right here is specifically for the Jews. It's kind of like looking at a map of Illinois. And on the top right corner, you'll always see a zoomed-in picture of Chicago. Even though you see the whole map of Illinois and you see Chicago as a little dot on the map, they zoom it up and they show how, okay, this is an important area of Illinois. We want you to concentrate on this because this is the city of Chicago. Well, this is what the angel is doing here. He's given them the whole 2,300-year prophecy, but he's emphasizing this 70 weeks. So how do you cut off or mark off 70 weeks? You'd have to go, you got to do so for a larger period of time. So, of course, that being the 2,300 years. And then Daniel 9:25 again says, know ye therefore and understand that from going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild or to build Jerusalem. The angel actually tells Daniel here when to start the prophetic time period. He's given him all these things to happen, but he's also giving him a date it begins. Daniel's going to know that it will begin the very moment a king declares it is time for the people of Israel to go forth to build Jerusalem. When was this command given? As intimated in the notes on question number 7, it's found in Ezra chapter 7. But I like to read, I'm going to read Ezra chapter 7, verses 8, 11, 13, and 20. And it says, in the seventh year of the king, this is the copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra, the priest, the scribe. And then I jump to, I think it's like verse 11. It says, I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, because he's king, he can do this, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow it out of the king's treasure house. In other words, he's giving him a blank check. Go get the job done. In the seventh year of King Artaxerxes' reign, he was the third and final king to make a decree unto the people of Israel to go forth and to rebuild Jerusalem. The seventh year of that king was, in fact, 457 B.C. Now, if you need more info on this, on the 70 weeks, see my 70 weeks of Daniel page in the prophecy section of the website. So, I think we can do one more. Yeah, I can squeeze this last one in because this one goes into a little bit of detail. Number 8, because now we got more or less the foundation. Who would appear after 7 weeks and 62 weeks? Daniel 9:25 says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. 62 and 7 weeks is actually 69 weeks. Of course, 69 times 7 is 483 days because each week has 7 days. So 69 weeks is 483 days. Now, using the day for a year calculation of Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 6 and Numbers chapter 14, verse 34 gets us, you know, to the 483 years. It's not 483 days. It's actually 483 years. Now it's just a matter of math. Artaxerxes said to go ahead with the building of 457 B.C. Now all you got to do is subtract 457 from the 483. And you get to the exact year of 27 A.D. Now, I understand that that subtracting 457 from 483 comes 26 A.D., but let's not make the same mistake I made when I first started to calculate this prophetic event some years ago. I kept coming up with a year off. I kept messing up. I couldn't understand. I completely forgot about the fact that there is a year zero to contend with because Rome changed the calendar just like Daniel prophesied they would in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Says he'll think to change times and laws. And the reason the Vatican changed the calendars to where we're using the Gregorian thing now is so that it can mess everything up so that when you're looking for the arrival of Jesus Christ, why is it he shows up in 27 AD instead of 1, in year 1 or whatever? So they messed up the calendar there. And then, of course, you got that year the year 0. But anyway, I kept coming up the calculation that was a year off. And then when I was trying to place Jesus Christ as being baptized in 27 AD, I kept seeing him getting baptized in 26 A.D. In any event, 27 A.D. is the exact year. Yeah, Jesus arrived at the end of the year zero and was baptized by John the Baptist. To further confirm that as fact that it was 27 A.D., check this out. In John chapter 4, verses 25 and 26, it says this. The woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he's come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee, and he. And then Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The word Messiah comes from the Hebrew word Mashiach, which in Greek is translated as Christos, which means anointed one, just as Daniel said. Now here we see plainly that the New Testament word does in fact declare Jesus to be the Messiah, the Christ, or the anointed one. Now, does history confirm this? Now, remember, prophecy tells us that in exactly 27 AD, we're going to see a Messiah anointed, right? Does this happen? First of all, we need to answer the objection that is bound to spring up in some minds because, in regards to all this. Scriptures declare in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 23, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And Jesus himself being to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Why is the Bible saying this occurred in 27 AD, and it also states that Jesus was about 30 years of age when it happened? Well, again, the Vatican. When the calendar time of this occurrence was first calculated, it was an error of 4 years made, as many of us today are now aware. They're off by 4 years. It's overwhelmingly obvious that Christ could not have been born in 1 AD, because that would not make him to be about 30 years of age now, would it? You know, because that's how I was thinking in the beginning. It would have to be 1 AD, but we also note what happened here in Luke, where they actually give his age. Plus, Herod was still alive when Christ was born, as everyone is aware. He did all he could to kill Jesus at that time, but history records Herod's death happened in 4 BC. So after the error was realized, historic fact became even clearer. Jesus was truly born in 4 BC and then baptized in 27 AD at the age of 30. Since there is no such thing as a phantom, you know, year zero, they're trying to put it out there the way it's, because you got to add it in for the calculation. I got a weird calculation on this. It's like you got the 30 of his age, you minus the 4, and then you add the 1 for the years. I don't want to get all, it gets all strange and out of whack. It can get very confusing, but that was the agenda of the Vatican. It was their desire to go to that point to prevent people from getting an understanding of the prophecies. Because think about it. If everybody understood the week of Daniel, nobody would have fallen for the Jesuits' lie about a 7-year tribulation period. I mean, because the truth is this. The 7-year trib. Oh, yeah. The prophecy of Daniel, the 2,300 years, and it has this week that's marked out or cut off, you know, the 70 weeks and the 69 weeks and all that good stuff and the 62 weeks and everything. Let's just concentrate on the 7 days or the 7 years first to give you an idea of how ridiculous their claims are now about a 7-year tribulation period. All these prophetic events are happening exactly as was supposed to happen, according to Daniel. And then all of a sudden, when Messiah arrives, they take that prophecy, the most beautiful prophecy that's ever been uttered in Scripture, because it talks about the arrival of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They take it and they remove it completely out of the Bible and say that it's not supposed to happen until the end of the world. But the rest of the prophecy, they keep moving ahead forward. And the reason they did that also allows for confusion, because they not only change times and laws on our calendars, they try to change times and laws in the prophecies. Because when you remove that 7 years, everything's out of whack now. The Vatican starts in 538 AD, but according to the prophecy, it should start in 531 now, because there's 7 years difference. Napoleon destroys, you know, the ability for the Vatican to be a church and state in exactly 1,260 years, as Daniel predicted. If you add 1260 to 538 when the Vatican shows up, it happened in 1798 AD. But if there's a 7-year difference, get that, pull it out. Now everything's all confused. Napoleon is 7 years early. Or he's 7 years late, either way, whichever way you want to play with it. And so everything gets all confused and you can't really lock it down. And this is what I remember as a Catholic, because when I was, as a Roman Catholic, especially as a young man, and I was started getting heavy into the church, I was studying Catholic prophecy and I just couldn't get two priests to agree with each other. And when I left the Vatican, or not the Vatican, oh gosh, I never was in the Vatican, please. Now when I left the Vatican-inspired church, is what I meant to say, I left all that confusion behind, and then when I looked in the scriptures, I saw how much easier it was to understand Christian prophecy, because there's only one author of it. Whereas when you try to study Catholic prophecy, there's thousands of authors, and none of these guys agree with each other. But my point is, you can't take that 7 years and put it at the end. If you leave it in the prophecy where it's supposed to be, as we're studying it now, everything flows naturally from one point to the next, and all the prophecies just fall in line. Everything happens in the exact year it's supposed to happen. But if you yank it out, put it at the end of the year, that all gets confused, and that allows for people to run to their pastors and their priests going, we have to trust you because we can't get this. And that's the main crux of Catholicism, by the way, and Seventh-day Adventism, too. Seventh-day Adventism has actually gotten to the point, as well as all the other churches have as well now, to go forth and tell people that trust your pastors. Trust your pastors. And I can share this unequivocally with just some of the emails I get from SDAs that tell me that you shouldn't say certain things about the church in regards to what it says in Spirit of Prophecy. And I says, well, you need to stop listening to the pastors because they're taking spirit of prophecy out of context. And they all do that. And they all actually, all the emails are like, they're like related. They're all like, everybody's from one big happy family. They're all saying the exact same thing, which shows me they can't possibly be reading spirit of prophecy or their Bibles. They're just reading their pastors like Catholics do with the priests. Yeah, amen. The pastor echoes. And that's not a way to be, because you're going to end up with yourself in a major trick bag and you're going to be totally unready for when Jesus splits that eastern sky. Like the secret rapture, for example. And I'll end with this. The secret rapture, I believe, is the biggest trick ever played on mankind. That's why I wrote that book called The Rapture. In that book, I show all the verses that talk about what happens at the second coming of Jesus Christ. If these pastors out there actually used any of those verses, they would be drummed out of their churches, because their churches would have to say, hey, you told us this rapture was going to be secret and there was going to be a seven-year trib afterwards. But here the Bible's saying it's not going to be secret. Everybody's going to see it happen. And there's not going to even be 7 nanoseconds after Jesus gets here for us to try to get our lives right. But that's the trick that the devil's going for. It's just like what happened 2,000 years ago when the Jews thought Messiah was to show. They thought he was going to come as a muscle-bound man that would just destroy all of Rome and there'd be rule on earth, you know, all this peace on earth. And they fell for it. Because when Jesus came as a humble man, preaching love and truth, they didn't embrace it. Well, they're doing the same thing today. They say when Jesus gets back, there's going to be 1,000 years of peace on earth. And the only reason there's going to be 1,000 years of peace is because there's not going to be anybody on the earth but dead bodies. And, of course, all the demons that have to roam, the devil has to roam around on the earth for 1,000 years until we get back from heaven. But that's, of course, another whole story, because you got the second coming, and then we go up in heaven to do the work of the judgment, as it says in the Word. And then after 1,000 years are over, the city of heaven descends from above and is placed on this planet. And then the executive judgment happens, where all the people that didn't go home with Jesus when we left will all be destroyed in hellfire. But again, this goes further into the study as we're continuing week by week. So, but there is studies on the website if you want to go a little bit more information in regards to all that. Just send me an email which one you want, whether it's Hellfire, Secret Rapture, 1,000 years, you know, 7-year trib, whatever. I'll send you the link. You read it and hopefully be blessed. Anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed right now for what was shared on the Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.